Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group, and we're located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highway 164 and Highway F in Ridgeview Corporate Park. We're also in the Village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank building, which is just directly across from Winkies. Everyone knows where Winkies is. And we also have the opportunity to service our clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. If you would like to put a face with a voice and learn more about Ellenbecker Investment Group, you can go to ellenbecker.com. My guest today is Crystal Wendelberger, and she has written a great book, Mindful Gratitude, Practicing the Art of Appreciation. And as we're winding down to the end of the year, you know, all of us start to think about, wow, did we accomplish everything that we wanted to accomplish this year? And, well, January 1 is coming right around the corner, and we make our list of the things that we really want to do. And you might even be sitting back and saying, we're going to be talking about a mindfulness and gratitude on Money Sense. What has that got to do with money? Well, actually, it really does, because one of the things that we do is we decide what we want to do, how we want to be in the coming year, or we evaluate, like I said, the end of the year. And that can really stress us out if we haven't really accomplished the things that we want to do, or if we are making such a big list that it's almost impossible to accomplish those things. And where does it affect? It affects our business. It affects our home life. It affects how we are in the community, how we are with our friends, how we are with our spouses, how we are with our kids. And I just recently was listening to a friend of mine who went to a talk over at Frieder Hospital. And the topic of the talk was, what if we could cure cancer by eliminating stress? Think about that. Do you think stress really has that kind of an impact on our bodies that we could cure cancer, or we could cure some things? So that's why we're talking today, because mindfulness and really understanding our own habits and our own stress levels and where we are really important. So I am going to take this moment to invite and thank Crystal for being here and for the book that you wrote. I actually read it when I was in Africa.
Oh, how wonderful.
And the beauty of it is that when I got to Africa, we were doing safaris, I was taking pictures like crazy. I was just like, well, you can only take 100 pictures of an elephant, even if they're all different elephants and giraffes and lions. And all of a sudden, it just occurred to me, why not just be mindful of what is going on here? And so the 1 week I was so into photography, and the next 2 weeks that we were in these different camps, I really was able to just appreciate where I was, how beautiful the animals were. And I don't know if that was mindfulness, but it was just absolutely beautiful. So, Crystal, thank you so much for being here. And I will talk a little bit about the book, but give us a sense of why you wrote the book and why gratitude really matters.
Sure. First of all, thank you, Karen, so much for having me today. I really appreciate this opportunity to come and talk about gratitude. especially as we are approaching the holidays. And it's a time when we do feel that heightened sense of gratitude with Thanksgiving and all the other holidays. We also feel that added stress. And so finding a way to actually practice gratitude and take it with us beyond the holidays so that it's not just something that we think about and look at once a year or for a month out of the year. Really, how do we put it into practice and carry it through the year? I wrote this book because I feel that I have a natural sense of gratitude that has taken me from the edge of bad experiences or bad feelings and put me back into a place of, okay, I'll be okay. New perspective. Many times, and I don't, not always big dramatic things, sometimes just small things where it's like, okay, just step back. I'm so fortunate to have this family, this home, everything that I have that allows me to say, all right, then I can deal with whatever is there in front of me. But the book did come out of a slightly more dramatic time period. I was pregnant with our third child, and the other two were already out of diapers, so we weren't really planning our last wonderful guy. And at the same time, my dad was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and he was given 9 months to live. And so it was like life and death coming together, the end and the beginning. And it was just a very emotional time. And after the baby was born, I was just sitting on my sofa one afternoon. I had 3 minutes of solitude, and I had been, you know, crying about my dad, and I just looked around, and a friend had dropped off a wonderful meal. She had made lasagna and a salad and bread, and she brought it in beautiful cobalt blue bowls, and so it just looked so nice. And I realized I had the minutes that I had to sit and cry because another friend had taken my kids to their after-school activities, and I just was overwhelmed with a sense of how lucky I am and how I felt so cared for and loved.
And valued.
And it really was an overwhelming feeling. And it really, I just started thinking, oh my gosh, and I have a refrigerator full of vegetables that I didn't have to grow or pick. I have, you know, water that's going to just come right out of my faucet when I decide I'm thirsty. And like you, I've had experiences. I worked after college for about 6 months in Mexico in a shelter for homeless people. And I have seen people who really don't have anything. And it really, it's not to compare, but it does give perspective, right? You say, wow, I really, look at me. I'm blessed. I'm rich. I'm so rich. And it was an overwhelming feeling that just sort of sat right next to those feelings of sadness and grief and loss.
Yeah.
But I realized that those feelings were giving me the resilience I needed to keep going and to get through the difficult feelings. And I wanted to share that sense with people. And so, as you know, the book is not a book of advice or suggestions about how you should live your life. It's 10 personal essays, experiences that I've had where gratitude has played a major role in helping to get me through a situation. And I also follow each essay with questions for the reader, because I didn't want to write an instructional book, but I did want to give people the opportunity to have that feeling that I was so lucky to have naturally. And so I follow each essay with a series of reflection points, questions that the reader can ask him or herself, because really it's not so much about my story. It's about helping you find your story. So read my story. Maybe there's something there that you connect to and you can take some inspiration. But now, here are these reflection points and an opportunity for you to think about your own life and how is your own journey something that is quite filled with miracles and magic, no matter who you are, that somebody values you and something wonderful is going on around you. And I often think, you know, we are never really alone, right? Because everything we have, like the fingerprints of humanity are all over everything that we have. This table that we're sitting next to, these chairs, someone has created all of this. And, you know, somebody designed this room that we're sitting in that's so lovely. And I will never meet them, but I am enjoying the fruits of their work. And I'm enjoying whoever designed this comfy chair. And, you know, so if we really get a chance to dig in, I think even when we're feeling very lonely, even if we feel like, oh, we don't have anybody, we do. And there's a way to connect to all of humanity through gratitude.
Do you know, I think that a lot of people, particularly I think of my own life, not even a lot of people, we move so fast. And there are such beautiful things. And Africa really did give me an opportunity to have gratitude and to see how beautiful my life was in comparison to the people that live there. But the people who live there also had gratitude for their life. Our lives were different.
Yes.
But they were extremely happy with so much less. And one of the things that I've always felt, and you were talking about going through hard times, was that you're only you're only alive as much as you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't have gratitude. We don't see it because we're moving so fast. And people bury those feelings of happiness and sadness. And I think a lot of times people don't realize that we grieve good things as much as we grieve sad things. So you get a new job and you're leaving your old job and all your old friends. You buy a new house, which is wonderful, but you're leaving your neighborhood.
Yeah.
You graduate from high school and you go to college, but you're leaving so many of your friends behind. We don't often realize that we need to stop and have that gratitude and really grieve those important moments, as well as things like your father passed away, my father passed away from pancreatic cancer, and those were very difficult times. And then at the same time, I had the birth of my first great-granddaughter. And you know, but if you don't stop and recognize that, if you don't take, what is it they say, stop and smell the roses, if you don't really stop, then you don't often see all the things that we can be grateful for. And I think for me, gratefulness is also a big piece of my faith, of understanding that we all don't always see everything. And if we only bank on what we see and we don't have faith, I think we rob ourselves of so many opportunities.
I think that's really true. And I think that that sort of thinking, whether you are a person who considers yourself someone of faith or not, there is a certain level of faith that you kind of have to have in life. And it does, you know, give you the opportunity to look a little bit deeper and to see things just a little bit more clearly and with a little bit more meaning and significance. And that's where the mindful gratitude part comes in, right? So
yes.
It's taking the time to pause and be mindful and to see what we have and to think about what we have. And I think that that's very much an important piece of this is that we don't just let things fly by us. We stop and see what's before us and how it's enriching our lives.
My guest today is author Crystal Wendelberger, and she has written a beautiful book, Mindful Gratitude, Practicing the Art of Appreciation. We're going to take a quick break and come back, and let's talk a little bit about mindfulness. What is it exactly? It's a big word that covers a lot of territory, and sometimes those words get out there and it's like, oh, that's just a regular old word. But let's just talk a little bit about mindfulness and how does it really impact our community, your life, business, and how can being mindful really change an outcome. With that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. My guest today is Crystal Wendelberger, and she has written a great book, Mindful Gratitude. And wow, what a good book to give to your family at Thanksgiving, right? I think for me, Thanksgiving is a really special time. One of the things that we do, and it came out of me really taking a look at my life, is that so I'm old. I'm 76, and I have to take a required minimum distribution from my retirement account. And so every year I would take that, and a portion of it would go to charity. And several years ago, I decided to give each one of my grandchildren money from my IRA that they could give to a charity of their choice. So you have to understand, I have almost 14 in this family in addition to my kids, but it has been life-changing. I have gotten to see, now it's been at least 6 years, every year when they started, everything went to the Humane Society. And then now, though, they really pick meaningful, different places for the money to go. Children that they've met, students they've met, and to give some of that money away. And that was not only for me what I feel legacy, but it really, in a sense, with the kids, they got to see something really different, and they started to look at what was going on in the community and gave them gratitude for their lives. So I think Thanksgiving is a wonderful opportunity. If you you could almost take these 10 lessons and do it with your spouse, do it with a friend, and sit down and talk about it. You know, something that's really meaningful and deep, more than maybe golf, or golf is over, or something else. You know, just to start a different conversation. And of course, Christmas is coming. St. Nick's is coming. It's a nice size book that you can give as a gift. And so, Crystal, let's talk a little bit about mindfulness, because I know that I have said it to a few of my male friends, and they just kind of look at me with glassed over eyes. And it just sounds like something quirky and maybe popular right now. But let's really call it down as to how it really does affect our lives and how it can affect business. And especially, I look at it as a business owner. What can I do different? And what can I do to make my employees' experience better?
Yeah, it is one of those words, and now it's really gotten around, and it's, I don't know that everybody always takes the time that they need to understand the word. So it is often described as paying attention to what is going on around you with openness and curiosity, an attitude of openness and curiosity to the present moment. And it really isn't hard. It just means stopping and really looking at things. It means really listening. And, you know, when you talk about in a business context, what that brings, well, I think that listening is one of the greatest skills that we can bring to the workplace, whether we're selling, whether we're managing a team, whether we're providing direct services. It's when we listen that we really are able to provide the best service, bring the best to whatever our customer, who, however we define our customer. You know, listening is just key to that. So paying attention to the present moment with an attitude of openness and curiosity. And I'll just add, that means not judging, right? I think we are so quick to judge, and I have this conversation with my teenage son once in a while, because he'll get a little judgy, and I'll say, like, you know, well, you're really not supposed to judge everything like that. And he'll say, but Mom, we're, you know, human beings. It's what we do. And he's exactly right. It is part of human nature, right? We have to make assessments about things. But it's sort of, mindfulness takes us to that point where we say, oh, I'm going to set that aside. I'm going to set aside those judgments. I'm going to be open. I'm going to be curious. I'm going to listen. If I'm by myself, I'm just going to listen to what's going on in my own head, you know. And sometimes people think of meditation means you have to sit and not have any thoughts. But really what it is it's sitting and noticing those thoughts. Because quite often thoughts are like scrambling through our heads so fast, we're not really conscious of them. And when we pause just to be quiet and open and curious, we can see those thoughts a little more clearly and say, we can assess them and ask if they're serving us or not. So that's mindfulness, really paying attention. And then mindful gratitude is just taking that to the next level and, you know, saying it's a practice of finding, noticing, and deeply appreciating the unexpected beauty, wisdom, and meaning that's hidden inside of our stories, our experiences, our relationships, and our everyday interactions. And I really do believe that there's just so much for us to excavate from our experiences and our relationships that is good that we don't take the time to do. We have to be mindful to do it. So
when you talk about judgment, I think one of my favorite sayings is live by what you trust, not by what you fear. And when you are in fear, you aren't listening, you aren't aware, you are looking for what's wrong and not looking for what's right. And for me, I'm just going to throw out an example. I guess I'll throw out a challenge for my listeners. And you know, it's crazy because we are coming on hosting Money Sense for almost 36 years.
Oh, congratulations.
I almost can't believe it myself. 36 years of doing this radio show and loving every single minute of it. But for my listeners who have been so loyal out there, I would like to throw out a challenge with Thanksgiving coming. And it just came up, Crystal, when you were talking, is that looking around us, and what if every one of us just stopped and noticed someone around us and listened? And what if we asked ourselves when we got up that morning, what can I do to make this a better place? How can I help someone improve their life? And it might just be a smile. It might just be a child that you know. It might be a neighbor. It might be someone. But if every one of us just found one person that we could have a positive impact on, it would change this world.
100%.
It would change this world. And it would change us.
Yeah.
It would change us, because that whole idea of living by what you trust and not by what you fear is also, I think, faith-driven, because you have to believe that there is better, there is hope.
Yes. There's something bigger.
And what is there if there's no hope?
Yes. Yes. Especially in the times that we're living in, with so much, you know, so much coming at us, so much going on.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of... yeah, there's a lot of discord and there's a lot of noise also, that just like we open our emails and our texts and now we get, you know, 18 zillion ads and crazy things coming at us and this is on sale. And especially this time of year, you're going to start getting, you know, tons of these. And so, yes, pausing and saying, what could I do to make a difference today?
Yes.
And here's where a practice of gratitude is really handy, because It allows us to find what is already there and what is already real. And what you could do today is to thank someone in a meaningful way. So to really pull back and ask, who has contributed to my life in the last few days? You know, who has, I use the example of my husband, who pays attention to the recycling and the garbage schedule, which I do not. And he pulls out the recycling and the garbage, usually on time. And I am so grateful for that. And it's just a small thing. But, you know, and I probably don't thank him nearly enough. I should probably say thank you every week, because I do appreciate that garbage doesn't pile up in my backyard as it would if I were in charge of that. You know, and so it's really recognizing that does make my life better. I would have to do that if he were not doing it. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a way, you know, to see the people in your life in a better light, a less judgmental light.
Look for what's right, not what's wrong.
Exactly. And when you say thank you, And you say it in a meaningful way and a specific way. And we could talk more about, you know, the science of that and the best ways to practice. But if you say it in a meaningful and specific way so that someone really understands how they impacted you, you've done your good deed for the day.
Yes, exactly. We're going to take a quick break, but I just want to run by a couple things that you had shared with me. The science behind gratitude and happiness, which was from the Harvard Health, gratitude is strongly associated with greater happiness. And they talked about workplace stress cost the U.S. employers about $300 billion annually, and that gratitude can counter burnout, disengagement, and turnover. And I also noticed that Aetna had a mindfulness program that they hosted, and they saw a 28% reduction in stress, a 20% better sleep outcomes, 62 minutes of productivity gain per week. And so I think that one of the things that's been always important to me is not to just talk about things, but to do things and be that, and how it really does start at the very top. And your return on investment as an employer working on this of the wellness is about $3,000 per employee per year in productivity gains. And that's big.
It's very big.
And it's something that it just takes. I love the word pause. It just takes time to pause and to put something in that place. And one of the things that I recognize is that I can have all the great ideas in the world, and I'm an ideas person. But if I don't have people who are going to support that and people behind me, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't get done. So you have to be the leader at the top, and you have to show that this is important, not only for you, but for your employees. And I know one of the things with our staff here is that Julie and I both try to model the most important things. And what happens then is employees like consistency. They don't like a program to start, a program to stop. They want consistency. So you really have to be invested in making it work. And with that, we're going to take a break, and Crystal will have some great tips for us on that exact subject. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. My guest today is Crystal Wendelberger, and she has written a great book, Mindful Gratitude, a wonderful gift for the holidays coming up, especially, I would say, Thanksgiving. And even to discussion around the table, that's what I love to do with my kids, is I like to bring up a topic and kind of roll it around the table and have everybody give me some feedback on it. Mm-hmm. So that would be a fun thing to do. But we ended our conversation talking about business, and I think that one of the statistics that we had said is that stress costs U.S. employers $300 billion annually. That is a big number.
It's a very big number. And I have some other big numbers that I wanted to share with you. 76% of employees feel burnout, at least sometimes, with about 25% feeling extreme burnout. And these are recent stats gathered by the Harvard Business Review. And it's very expensive. So employee burnout can cost employers up to three times the average cost of health insurance and 3 to 17 times the cost of training per employee. And, you know, one of the biggest reasons people leave a job is not feeling appreciated, not feeling recognized, not feeling like they're
valued,
not feeling valued, like their contribution matters. And one other study showed that when you lose an employee, it takes 6 to 9 months of that employee's salary that's what it costs to replace them in terms of finding somebody new, onboarding, new training expenses, not to mention all the hidden costs involved in disruptions to teams and increased workload for your existing staff, and then pushing them towards higher burnout, you know, and just, you know, morale decline all around. So it is really a business. There is a business case for bringing practices of mindfulness and gratitude into your workplace. And in fact, just as a kind of to tell you how I ended up here, is I had made a presentation shortly after the book came out, and I really focused on the personal, you know, like how this can really transform the individual's life, a practice of gratitude. And afterwards, an older retired businessman approached me and he said, "Well, this is all great, but, you know, I mean, what's the business case for this?" And that's literally what he said to me. And he said, "I mean, I think this is really nice, but like, you've got to show a business that this matters." And I thought, yeah, he's right. If I want to do workshops, if I want to go out and talk to employers, I have to make the case that this is actually something that will make a viable difference, positive difference in their work. So I'm very grateful to that gentleman. I don't know his name, but I do think of him often, and I am grateful to him for inspiring me, because it did set me up to create a workshop that is much more valuable mm-hmm. to people in a workplace. And I also wanted to mention, Karen, you did bring up the Aetna study. And the Aetna study is so much more than a study, because they really have built mindfulness and wellness into their corporate culture. And they have had this program for 10 years now. They have a chief mindfulness officer at the top level of the company, someone who really drives all of this. They have incorporated mindfulness rooms into their office spaces, places where people can just go to take a breath and reset. And they've really incorporated these kinds of practices into the way that they conduct meetings and into the way that they manage people, in just a much more mindful, thoughtful, conscious, and I think respectful way that supports their retention of employees and obviously saves money. So
one of the things that we've done at Ellen Becker Investment Group, and we are really aware of the importance of mindfulness, and for other businesses out there, is we have a therapist that comes in our office 3 days a week, and our employees can schedule appointments for half hour or an hour. And it has really changed it has made huge, significant changes in our company. And we pay for that. And we do that as a benefit. And what we've seen is that if somebody just has a bad morning, if something comes up, if there's something happens with kids, or there's something in the family, illness, or anything that comes up, a disagreement between spouses, they can come in on that and they can talk to them, and it alleviates the stress.
Yes.
Because they've, I want to say, unloaded it, or yeah, they've talked about it, and then they go and they do their work. They don't have to be sitting there thinking about it. And it has been, I mean, it has just been an incredibly positive thing for our company. And I go in there and talk to Jill, and I know Julie does. We all, it's just wonderful to have a place where someone listens.
Yep, there it is.
Just listens. And we just don't have that. And when something comes up, who do you talk to sometimes? And you take that to work. And that's the stress that we're trying to alleviate.
Yeah.
Finding ways, maybe you don't have a therapist, or maybe you don't, but what are the things that you can do to relieve some of that stress? And I know that you've got some pointers for individuals.
I do. And I want to say thank you for having the practice in your business of bringing a therapist in. I think that's really fabulous, because I mean, our work and home lives have become so often blended. Mm-hmm. And because we often have two parents working, people are dealing with so much, and then they suddenly get to work and it's supposed to be like, you know, stop. don't bring any of that with you. Now come in here and do what you're supposed to do. And not that we want our workplaces to be places where we're all constantly talking about our personal lives, but to have an outlet for folks who are having troubles, because it does, we do bring it with us. And so some of the things that we talk about in the workshop that I do is finding practices, because not everyone is going to be able to have a therapist come in 3 days a week. What are the practices that we can do and that managers and directors can support in a way that is really very cost efficient, you know, just teaching people some basic strategies. So one of them, and I don't take credit for this, this is a strategy I picked up from Brendan Burchard, but I find it to be so helpful and I use it myself every day. And it is just to pause and recognize when we have a transition. We have a lot of transitions throughout our day and we don't always acknowledge them. So maybe I'm on the phone with somebody and I'm having like a tense conversation and now I'm going to hang up and I've got to go into a meeting. And, you know, typically what we might do is, you know, okay, bye, hang up. Now I'm going to charge into that meeting and I'm going to just, and I'm taking whatever that energy, you know, whatever that negative energy was, I'm taking that with me now into a meeting. And so if we can find a way to just pause and pay attention, just for 30 seconds, and then intentionally say to ourselves, I'm going to shift now. That is done. I'll finish dealing with whatever I have to deal with later, but now I have to shift and move into this meeting. And when I get to this meeting, I want to achieve A, B, and C, or I want to be respectful and listening to my coworkers, or I want to be making good, positive, you know, suggestions and be a better collaborator. But just to have that, you know, pausing and then setting a new intention is very, very powerful. And I do use that throughout my own day. And it also helps with more and more people doing remote work, and our home lives and work lives can really be blurred when, you know, you're working at home. And so to be able to say at 5 o'clock or whenever it is, if you're working at home, I'm really like, I'm going to put away my work now, whether that's doing something physical, like closing the laptop, you know, tapping a file folder, putting it off to the side, whatever it is for you. But just really noticing and saying, I'm done with work now. It's 5 o'clock. I'm going to go make dinner for my family. And I'm going to make dinner for my family because I love them and because they need to eat. And, you know, and you just separate those two things. And it really does not take a long time. And it can have a huge impact on how you feel throughout the day. And again, for an employer, you want people coming to work feeling healthy and ready. And
right.
So and that's excited. A strategy. And excited.
My guest today is Crystal Wendelberg, and she has written the book Mindful Gratitude, Practicing the Art of Appreciation. We are going to come back, and we're going to talk about building a culture of respect, resilience, and empathy in your business. And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to ManySense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. My guest today is Crystal Wendelberger, and she wrote a great book, Mindful Gratitude. And we were just talking, and I said, the holidays are coming. So I sort of twisted her arm here a little bit and said, why don't you give a nice discount for people who, business owners, to give this out to their employees as a Christmas gift. You know, if you give them a turkey, give them a turkey and give them a book.
Yes.
But really, almost every year we give one iBook of some sort to our employees, something that is meaningful to us. And this would be a great gift. So if you're looking for something to give to your employees, this would be a nice little addition. So Crystal, can you talk a little bit? Well, first of all, you said that would be great. You would do something like that.
I would love to do a...
And how does everyone contact you?
Through the website, www.mindfulgratitude.com. Okay. And then there's a form there for contact us, of course.
Okay.
But you'll get a lot of information there, and then contact us and we can talk about a discount on a bulk purchase.
Or you also do retreats and seminars.
Do.
So those are things that if anyone is interested for January 1 of kicking off the new year with your employees, you know, do a lunch and learn. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. We do it over lunch. Everybody brings their bag lunch. Sometimes we treat for lunch and we bring a speaker in for employees. And that also has been because everybody, I want everyone to feel that they want to be curious and learn. So if you want that, you've got to model it. Mm-hmm. And that's why we do the lunch and learns. But what are some of the things that business owner can do to improve their team dynamics and their communication within their company?
Yeah. Well, I think that modeling the behavior, as you said, is the most important thing. Anything that you want to instill in the culture, it has to come from the top. Because if you don't have everybody at the C-level in agreement, if you don't have every, you know, if you don't have the owner of the company, your top directors, if they're not bought in, you know, you can't really make a ton of change in your culture. Although people do, of course, bring their good practices to work on whatever level of the company they're at, and they have a positive influence.
But and employees love consistency.
They do.
Because it gives them a groundedness.
Yes.
It gives them predictability. It gives them safety and security.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all of us like some kind of stability and sort of knowing what we can expect in a day, in a work week. So I will talk a little bit about the workshops, because I do think that the providing a workshop, a mindful gratitude workshop to employees, is really something that can be quite valuable. I've had such wonderful experiences working with various teams. I worked with a local city suburb not so very long ago, and we did an all day. I was there all day and did three workshops, starting with literally the guys who are the street workers who came in with their yellow vests, and all the way up to the mayor and the, you know, top level people in the city. And it was such a positive experience. And it's reminded me this is very, very flexible and applies to everyone, because the skills that we are going to learn and practice in the session really are applicable to anyone at any level. I've also done this workshops for Girl Scouts, and I've also done workshops at the Catholic home with a large group of 80 and 90 year olds, and had one of my best experiences ever working with these wonderful people who had deep insights and understanding about life. So I want to talk a little bit about what the practice is that we focus on in the session. And that is, really, we do some gratitude journaling. And I've had people say to me, oh, journaling, I don't want to do journaling. But you know what? When we do it in a very particular way, it can make major changes for us. And so I just want to touch on those three things. Dr. Robert Emmons, the author of Gratitude Works, he's one of the biggest names in positive psychology. He has determined that there are three keys to journaling: specificity, surprise, and scarcity. So be specific. Try to discover something new as you think through a situation. And then also be aware of what's scarce. Our time is scarce. Our summers here in Wisconsin are scarce. What is it that we're right now in the middle of that won't last forever? These beautiful holidays, you know, season won't last forever, right? So really enjoy it. And you know, so what we do is we put a prompt out there, ask people to write about it. And everyone who says, oh, I don't like journaling, I've had people come up to me afterwards and say, well, that was just wonderful, because they had a very specific thing to do. And then once they've learned that, we do send them off with a journal and note cards and tips about how they can practice. So it's a wonderful thing to do, to bring, whether it's me or someone else, to bring education to the workplace and to have that commitment. But then also showing employees on a regular basis that you appreciate them. And again, being specific with that recognition. So it's nice to say thank you. It's much nicer to say thank you because you took care of organizing this project. It made it much easier for me to go into that presentation. And I really appreciated, especially these detailed notes that you gave me. You know, so being specific in your gratitude is so helpful. And so those are some of the things we focus on.
I know that you had said in the book, gratitude intersects with equity, inclusion, and belonging. How do you see that? We have about just a little bit of time left. So how does that work?
Well, that is not necessarily something that I had in the book, but I do believe it because I think that
when you say thank you to somebody, you are showing respect, right? You're saying, I value what you've done or given me. You're recognizing, you're acknowledging someone. You're saying, I see you. I see an action that you took. And then I think you're showing reverence. I believe that you are a valuable human being and your actions matter. And I think when you're doing those things, you are building a culture of inclusion and belonging.
And relationship.
And relationships where people can feel seen, they feel respected, and they feel a part of a team that they want to contribute to.
My guest today is author Crystal Wendelberger, and the book is Mindful Gratitude, giving you a couple good ideas for Thanksgiving or for Christmas to give to your employees. Crystal will work with you on bulk orders, or if you want to do a seminar, it would be really great. So, Crystal, thank you so much for being part of our show today and kicking off the new year in such a positive, wonderful way. And as always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.